Martha Marcy May Marlene, a film that was written and directed by Sean Durkin, is an unsettling psychological portrait of a young woman who has run away from a cult-like community on a farm in upstate New York. She moves in with her estranged sister and brother-in-law, the only family she has to turn to, and tries to adjust to life in the outside world, coming to terms with abuses she suffered on the farm. The film stars Elizabeth Olsen as the young woman and John Hawkes as the community's leader. Mr. Hawkes was nominated for an Oscar for his performance as Teardrop in last year's Winter's Bone. And although Martha Marcy May Marlene is Sean Durkin's first film, he was awarded the Best Director Award at this year's Sundance Film Festival and the Cannes Prix de la Jeunesse. Jeunesse? Sorry, Sean.
Something like that.
I'm very pleased to welcome John Hawkes and Sean Durkin to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, thanks
for having
us.
I'm good on the French, but it's just so out of context here. Yeah. John, did your performance in Winter's Bone lead you to be called for this film, do you think?
That would be a question for Sean, but I don't think it hurt. I don't know. If I hadn't had that luck, Sean, would you have come for me?
I don't know. It wasn't a direct thing. I had seen the film almost, I think, 6 months earlier and hadn't thought of it directly. And then we weren't really casting until and the role of Patrick in particular until maybe 3 weeks before we started shooting. And my casting director suggested John, and I thought it was a great idea.
Well, John, you're well known as a character actor, but you don't always play menacing characters. Yet in Winter's Bone and in this film, you're pretty intimidating. Do you like playing these kinds of characters?
You know, I just like good material and interesting roles that help tell the story. You know, it kind of doesn't matter if it's light or dark or gray. If it's a good piece, I want to be part of it.
Sean, what is it about cults or closed communities like the one portrayed in this film that interests you?
I guess I've always sort of been interested and in conforming. And I think as a kid, I always had a fear of conforming. And very young, I went to a religious school, and I'd be sitting during morning prayer, and I would just think, why are people repeating these words without thinking about what they mean? And I think it started early on then, and then as I got older, started to find out about cults, and I thought this was just a unique way to explore that.
Then what kind of research did you do?
I started by reading about some of the more famous groups of the 60s and 70s, but quickly...
Obviously the Mansons.
The Mansons and Jonestown. But then quickly got away from that and wanted to make something really specific and began to found people who had been in similar groups to this now, in smaller, more local groups.
Because in the end, this is mostly about psychology of being in a group like this. And part of what makes it so effective is John's performance. John, the key to a character like Patrick is to make him charismatic and compelling, the kind of person a young woman like Martha would trust, mm-hmm. at the same time that we, the audience, see him as a scary character.
Yes. That word charismatic... it makes me really nervous. I just started sweating thinking about it. How do you play charisma on camera? Luckily, there was a great script and a wonderful actress, Lizzie Olsen, to Sean's direction to guide along. But I was played with early on and talked to Sean about how possibly mundane could I make the character, how almost boring could I make him. But it didn't really serve the story that way. But it's something I was interested in because we've seen so many mustache-twirling kinds of confidence men playing the character coming out like that. So,
well, if the manipulation isn't subtle, then this film doesn't work as well.
Agreed. Yeah, if we don't see some reason why Lizzie, her character Martha, would want to fall in with these people, then we're not going to want to watch her on the trip.
We don't know much about Patrick, where he comes from, how he's gotten where he is. Did you create a backstory for yourself?
Yeah, I'm very much an over-preparer, but on this film and with Sean's encouragement, I guess, I didn't do a lot of research. I thought about it briefly and then kind of forgot about it because I like the idea of him just kind of falling from the sky with no past or future and just being there in the moment.
So that lack of specifics about Patrick gives you a kind of a freedom to interpret the character the way you want to.
very much so. Yes,
Sean, we also don't know anything about Martha's life before she moves to the farm and joins the community. Why did you want to keep her background a mystery and only give us little bits and pieces of information along the way rather than tell us a lot at the beginning?
Yeah, well, a couple of reasons. One is that I didn't want to give an explanation and say, okay, this is what this girl is, this is where she came from, and this is the reason why she's here, because that to me simplifies it too much. There is no really, I just don't like when films say, like, this is the kind of person it happens to, because it's not that simple. And then also, it's about what happens after. The film's not about what happened before or how she got there. And so the way I wanted to approach what happens when she leaves the group is that I'm more interested in seeing her coexist with her sister than hearing about what happened to them as kids or their stories, because that's just how what I feel is more realistic when family members get together.
Well, people don't get together and say, when I was 12 and you were 16,
exactly,
you said this to me and then I said that to you. But we do find out little bits of information along the way.
Yeah.
Things that suddenly give us little aha moments.
Yeah, it was really delicate balance, the entire process of writing, editing, shooting, about how much to give and just giving just enough so that we're not asking the wrong questions. And that was pretty much how I approached it.
Well, the key question, one of the key questions in this story is what makes her stay on the farm as long as she does? Because she obviously has all sorts of concerns, and I don't want to go into too much detail, but mm-hmm. She is not treated all that well.
Yeah. And the goal with that was just to create an atmosphere, and what John was talking about before, where you see glimpses of things that she was attracted to and can understand things about it that were positive to her, even though there's so many negative things as well.
John, there's a beautifully shot scene in which Patrick is singing a song that he's composed for Martha, who you have, your character is renamed Marcy May. Is it in the scene that we really see what makes Patrick so magnetic and also so manipulative?
I hope so. Lizzie is, I think, mentioned in the past that to see.
We should point out Lizzie you're talking about is Elizabeth Olsen.
Yes,
and we'll get into just what an amazing performance she gives in this film in a moment.
Truly, she said, for a woman, and it's oversimplifying a bit, but when a person picks up a guitar and sings a song to someone else, it's going to be endearing unless it's really terrible. but it was exciting for me because we shot that live and did three takes, and to kind of get to score the movie for a couple minutes was exciting.
And you focus the camera on her face mm-hmm. through much of that scene, and she gives such a subtle performance, but we understand how it's playing with her and how complimented she is.
Yeah, for a long time in the script, I tried to figure out how can he win her over, and struggling for a long time, and then just sort of realized I wanted music to be a big part of the film and a big part of the farm. And I just think there's nothing more wonderful than watching someone perform. So I felt like that was the key moment.
Well, Charles Manson also used to write songs.
Yeah.
But in your case, John, don't you have a background in music?
I do.
You were really playing your own guitar on that?
Oh, yes. On a larger budget movie and even probably on many smaller budget movies, the tack would be to go into a studio, record the song, and then pretend you're doing it while the camera rolls. But we chose to just kind of let it rip, and luckily one of the takes was pretty good. And it's a Jackson C. Frank song.
You didn't write it, John?
Well, I claim to, but at this point, I have to say, and he's Sean would tell you more about him and finding that music. But I've been playing for a while, self-taught, but get around enough to be able to sing the song in the movie.
Well, which came first, the acting or the singing?
I picked up a guitar when I was in sixth grade because my brother played, and he's older than I, and I idolized him. So I was just trying to flail around and kind of set it aside for years. And then in Texas in the early 80s in Austin and ended up forming a band with other people who couldn't play their instruments. And we slowly figured out a way to make a sound that was good. And I've just continued on since then in other bands.
And then how did that lead you into acting?
Well, I was acting. I started in high school. One teacher in particular who told all of his students that they should be in the play in my little town, and then took me aside personally and said, you should do this. And I tried it and loved it, and I've tried to figure out how to make a living at it ever since.
My guests are John Hawkes, one of the stars of Martha Marcy, May Marlene, a new film that was written and directed by Sean Durkin, who is also here. So let's talk a bit about Elizabeth Olsen. Originally described in all of the press releases as the younger sister of the Olsen twins. From now on, they're going to be the older sisters of Elizabeth Olsen, I suspect. How did you find her? This is her first film, isn't it?
Yeah. I wanted an unknown actress. I wanted someone who had never done anything. So my casting director, Susan Shopmaker, brought in every girl we could see in New York who hadn't done something yet. And with a role like this, it's hard because it's a very quiet role, and you can't always say what you definitely want, but you know what you don't want. And so I saw 50, 75 people, and it just wasn't working, and she came in, and immediately I knew there was something special happening.
But hadn't both of you gone to NYU?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know each other?
No. I had graduated about 4 years earlier.
And it was important to you to cast an unknown actress in this role?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Something about, the scenario. I thought the scenario was a new scenario. It was a new approach on this kind of story, and I thought it was really important to have a new person.
Well, most directors would be reluctant to trust an inexperienced actress with a role like this. She has to carry the film.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think about it too much. I just just went with it, and I had a feeling from our first meeting that she was going to do it.
And the other roles seem perfectly cast as well. Did you have them in mind when you were writing the script?
No.
I really
didn't have anyone in mind, and we just started casting. And my casting director, in the first couple of weeks of casting, suggested Sarah, Hugh, and John, and we went from there. And then I knew some of the other actors, and we pieced it together.
Well, the other big surprise, of course, is that this is your first film, and people are amazed by how well it's written and how smooth your visual style is. Had you been making films that we don't know about?
I made some shorts, and I also have been producing some films. So I have two partners, and we all produce for each other. So although this is my first time directing a feature, I directed a couple shorts, and also in producing those other films, I got to learn a lot from my producing partner, Antonio Campos, and watching him direct. And we work with the same crew, so it's really just – it's very seamless transition.
John, you've worked with a lot of experienced directors in the past. Mm-hmm. Is it all that different when you're working with somebody who's a first-timer? Do you think about that?
Not at all. Someone either knows how to tell a story, in my subjective opinion, or they don't. And I could tell from talking to Sean on the phone in the weeks leading up to shooting, because we didn't meet until I got there. I would be in good hands.
And you also had a script.
Agreed.
You recognized was well written.
Indeed. Well, you always come back to this person wrote this story. They obviously have a facility with the material and good ideas around it.
Although they could just plunk the camera in front of the characters, and we've seen some movies like that.
Sure. And that can happen. It is a bit of a leap of faith every time, whether it's a director who's made 50 films or making their first.
When you started studying filmmaking at NYU, Sean, did you know what kinds of movies you wanted to make?
Not quite. At first, I was very focused on cinematography because I had been doing photography before that. I just started to make things, and I was very drawn to thrillers and horror, but I didn't like traditional horror movies. But I knew that they were sort of, my interests were on darker side of material. So,
Well, this isn't exactly a horror film, no. Although we are horrified. But you were influenced by horror directors?
Not so much. My favorite films are like The Shining and Rosemary's Baby, films like that. And I really like the more psychological horror. I like in horror films all the build-up, but I hate when it gets messy. I like that. I like all that tension and fear.
When you work on a TV series, as you did, John, with Deadwood, you have certain luxuries you don't have when you're working on a film, but it is still a film series. Was your time on Deadwood influential on your career?
For me personally, or for the world viewing me?
Well, first you. I mean, how much can you learn from doing that kind of a thing?
It's pretty great. You know, Deadwood was 36 episodes to explore a character for 36 hours of television, even though it wasn't the main character was really exciting. Yeah, it's wonderful. Particularly if you like the character, it's great to spend that much time pretending that guy.
But you've also worked with new directors, not just Sean. In fact, another wonderful film, Vera Farmiga's Higher Ground.
Yes.
She was here to talk about that. I was kind of blown away by that as a first directorial attempt. Mm-hmm. It's a fabulous film.
Yeah.
Is it the script that gets you to work on it, or just simply somebody calls you and you need the work?
Combination of both, but these movies, the movies I like to do, you can't really do for money. You're not going to get rich doing independent movies as an actor.
And you don't have any explosions in these movies.
It's true. No, Higher Ground wasn't a huge role, and the script was interesting, but the real draw for that one was Vera, just being such an admirer of hers and flattered that she thought that I could play her father in the film.
Well, I think you're the good luck charm on these films. If I were an independent filmmaker trying to make my first film, based on your track record, I would call you. So, Sean, has the success of this film changed your life? Of people throwing projects at you?
There's more opportunities, but I'm still, just promoting this movie and trying to write a new script. So, not in that sense, but there's definitely opportunity.
Well, congratulations on all the awards
and
the success and the great reviews. And we remind everyone that Martha Marcy May Marlene is in theaters around town. It stars John Hawkes, and its lead actress is Elizabeth Olsen in an amazing performance. This woman's going to be a big star.
Mm. Yep.
Thank you both so much for being on our show today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.